You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
BS, we bring you best. We bring you sports.
I don't care about bragging rights.
It just introduces more volatility into the equation.
I don't care about victory laps.
Stop it. Please stop it. Throw the football into the floor.
The BetQL Network presents your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper, Ken Barkley.
If I have an opinion, I'm just going to go put money on that thing happening.
And your host, Nick Kostos.
Every single play of every single game impacts you in some way, shape, or form.
It's You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM.
Yes, indeed it is You Better You Bet. Nick Kostos, Ken Barkley, great to be here with you today on the BetQL Network. Every game, Game 7, no hot take BS on this show. Bring you the bets, we bring you the sports. As we come to you live today from the Odyssey app, we'll be simulcast for the first 2 hours of today's show by our friends over at Stadium up until 6 o'clock Eastern Time, youtube.com/Odyssey Sports, twitch.tv/BetQL, and we are heard on radio stations nationwide, including our pals on satellite radio, Sirius 160, XM 205, as Ken and I bring you the wagertainment. We're talking all things sports betting. Proudly presented today and always by the king of sportsbooks, the great people over at BetMGM. We want you to download the BetMGM app. We want you to visit BetMGM.com. And you can do so on a tremendous Thursday, April 18th, year of our Lord, 2024, 1 week away from round one of the 2024 NFL Draft. Our show on Twitter, at You Better You Bet. I am on Twitter and the gram, at The Kostos. And Ken Barkley, your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper, he's always on X, Raven, at Lockie Lockerson. And on this tremendous Thursday, we will bring you two terrific guests joining us to break down the NBA playoffs 1 hour from now at 5 o'clock Eastern. The great Mike Gallagher from Establish the Run, host of the Establish the Run NBA podcast. We will roll through every first round series that we know about right now with the great Mike Gallagher from ETR at 5 o'clock Eastern. And at 5:40 p.m. Eastern time, the legendary, the Silver Fox, Dennis Bernstein from SiriusXM NHL Radio. Dennis will roll through all the NHL playoff series that we know right now. We have 6 of the 8 confirmed, and we'll talk about some of the permutations based on what we'll see tonight in the National Hockey League when we will have all 8 first-round matchups confirmed after tonight's games. So all things NHL playoff betting with Dennis Bernstein coming up at 5:40 p.m. Eastern time. Plus, the Sixers are the 7. And did the Butler do it? And by do it, we mean, you know, sprain his MCL and he's going to miss a bunch of time potentially. We will review last night in the NBA with the badass betting breakdown. We will talk about the things that went right. Me with the Miami Heat. The things that went wrong. Me with the under with the Hawks and the Bulls.
Oh,
and we will
God.
Spin. Yes, I mean, God. Under Hawks,
the
Bulls.
Under in both games.
Here's Kobe White with a casual 42. Yeah, and I mean, imagine you had the under in the first game after the way the first half played out. Insane.
Yes, imagine you had that, which I did. Yes, imagine that.
Yes.
I almost
lost the Heat. Then that would have been a Joker-type loss if Miami had not covered the spread. So we'll recap what happened last night in the NBA, and we'll spin it forward to what we know. Wow, Knicks, what a great season. 50 wins for the second time this century. Stirring end to the regular season to get the 2 seed. Here's Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers in the first round. Wow, that's great. While the Boston Celtics either get the corpse of the Miami Heat or the 39-win Chicago Bulls. I mean, God almighty, the Celtics don't make at least the Eastern Conference final. Send them to the Big East and UConn can play in the Eastern Conference next year. I don't want to hear anything about Jason Tatum and MVP ever again, or Jaylen Brown or Porzingis or Drew Holiday or Joe Mazzulla. If this team can't get to at least the Eastern Conference final. I'm a little annoyed as a Knicks fan. I'm a little jealous of the Boston Celtics, but they should make the Eastern Conference final. So a ton of NBA coming up on the show. We're also going to tell you how you, dear listener and dear viewer, should be betting round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Gave you a little preview yesterday. Ken Barkley's got some really good stuff to share with you, our audience, our listeners and viewers. And I think it's going to make us help us make some valuable bets on round one of the NHL playoffs. I've already made a couple of them. We'll talk about that coming up in the second hour of the show. Power hour, final hour. Not only all our bets for tonight, but also bets for game ones this weekend in the NBA, game ones this weekend in the National Hockey League as the playoffs set to start officially in both leagues. We will also be taking questions on social. We'll talk about this a little later in the show. For the YouTube chat, for the Twitch chat, for Twitter, we even posted it on the BetQL account. Instagram, we'll talk about that a little later in the show. So you'll be able to have your voice heard, you our listeners and viewers, to hashtag join the conversation later in the program. We're locked and loaded here. Tremendous Thursday. Ken Barkley, how's it going?
I mean, how was my betting night? I mean, I had the under in the first game. Like, that's how my betting night was. I mean, just like, what? Watching the entire game, rock fight. I mean, with Tyler Hero, you know, shooting like Allen Iverson in a bad game out there. It was like 7 for 29 or whatever it was, 8 for 29. And I was like, I have no idea. Like, overtime is how I would lose this. And yeah, just like the way the final minute transpired, but just like bucket foul, the three at the end. Just like all of it, it seemed like Kraft and Lab, depending on what number you got. Like, I know I got like a bit of an off market number on the total, so I pushed with most of the bet that I made, but like it's all awful, like whatever number you had on that total. So unders had been really, really good in the play-in tournament up to this point, whatever this is, year five, year six of it. But yeah, last night not so much in that first game. We'll see if it continues through the two games coming up tomorrow. If unders or low scoring games, which might end up being the case with like a really critical injury possibly in both games.
And I'll say this also. I'm way, way good on this iteration of the Atlanta Hawks. Like, forever. I'm done. I'm done.
Coach Quinn? You don't want to give him year two? Coach Quinn?
I'm okay with Coach Quinn because Quinn Snyder like did a really nice job in Missouri. Did a really nice job in the Utah Jazz. Yeah, so like he has the Dr. Quinn Snyder medicine coach who looks like he should be like moonlighting as like the villain in like a 1980s Steven Seagal movie with this like ridiculous haircut. But I don't mind Quinn Snyder. Just like this, the Trae Young led Atlanta Hawks. At what point do we say it's time to blow it up? Like, it's over. Like, it was a good run. They had the playoff series wins a couple years ago, you know, getting to the Eastern Conference final, right? Beating the Knicks, then beating the Sixers in the game where Ben Simmons wouldn't shoot the ball, losing to the Bucks in the Eastern Conference final. It's done now. Like, go away. See you later. Bye. Also, I bet them last night. So maybe my opinion a little informed by that they couldn't even come close to covering the spread. I mean, Kobe White looked like Michael Jordan last night. You know how hard that is to do? Like, I know he's a good player, slashing through the lane, slicing and dicing like it's like a Russell Westbrook in his prime. What the hell's going on, man? What the hell's going on with the Atlanta Hawks? What a bunch of jerks.
Yeah, so the only other direction I'll take that game, which I don't really want to talk about anymore, is I keep getting updates from a couple different people who are diligently tracking the NBA awards for people who have bet into these markets. Or if you haven't, maybe you're still interested in this stuff anyway. Obviously, there's like a public Google Doc that someone has put together for several years where he tracks them. Could be a little slow, right? They want they want sources to confirm before they put stuff on there. Friend of the show, Jay Croucher, tracking awards diligently also. Has just an unfortunate vote. I won't say who the writer is, changed his vote at the last minute, like literally said he voted something and then just recently said I didn't. Voted for Maxey instead of Kobe White. So the flip flop is went to Maxey and then flip flopped to Monk. Originally had voted for Nas Reed for Sixth Man of the Year.
And which is Jontay Porter? Who's the voter?
It's like, I can't, like, I'm not going to tell you.
Like, is Ippei Mizuhara? Like, is this the voter? Like, what is that?
So that where that leaves us is, and not even in votes, in like points, which is like different because it's ranked choice. You vote for first, second, and third. As of right now, with all of the publicly available information, sixth man of the year and most improved player are currently separated by less than one first place vote. With a quarter of the votes in. So Nasreed and Malik Monk, one of them will win sixth man of the year. We don't know which one at all. And one of Coby White or Tyrese Maxey will win most improved player. We just had a voter flip-flop to Maxey, tell us he did one thing, then do another thing. We also don't know where these players left off of ballots. If you voted for Nas, for example, did you leave Malik Monk off your ballot? If you voted for Coby White, did you leave Tyrese Maxey off your ballot because you think he was too good already? So this, it just, we probably have received about as much information as we're going to get. The awards will most likely start being announced next week and then the week after. And these will be two awards that will probably be announced earlier in the process because they're kind of the ancillary awards that people don't care about as much. MVP will be the last one. Coach of the year sometimes is first, sometimes is last. Defensive player of the year sometimes early on as well. So we're going to know pretty soon. But for those of us that have been like sweating this or like, if you bet these, you how is it going? It's going... I have no idea. It's going on a knife edge is how it's going. I think clutch player is probably in a similar situation, but Coby White was involved in that. So I figured I'd bring that up.
Well, wait until Dennis Bernstein joins us later in the show and reveals that he originally voted Austin Matthews to win the Hart Trophy. And when Matthews didn't score last night, he changed the vote to Nathan MacKinnon. I'm kidding. Dennis Bernstein would not do that, but Dennis Bernstein is an NHL awards voter. Yeah, I'm sure he did. We'll welcome Dennis to the show a little later to talk the National Hockey League. I guess my last note off of last night, and we'll do a lot from the Sixers-Heat game, spinning forward to the Sixers and the Knicks. You know, I don't track these sorts of things. This is more like your milieu, like your domain.
Yeah, love a good milieu. That's one of my favorites. I'm a millionaire. Yeah.
How about the, I want to be a millionaire. Bet the Arizona Coyotes last night in their final game in the desert. Smash the Edmonton Oilers. Do we know like what the record is for team final home game in a city before they are set to relocate the following year? Because that was my angle last night. It was like final home game for Arizona.
Yeah.
Like, a meaningless game for Edmonton, but still they win the game.
Was the place packed? I saw the score. I didn't even see the visual. Like, I'm saying though, if it's the last game, that kind of stuff brings people out sometimes where it's like, well, we never go, but it's the last one. So now we'll go or something along those lines. I'd be curious, like kind of how that looks. Not like I would have had it on a checklist to watch a highlight of a meaningless Coyotes Oilers game, but so that went pretty well for you. What else in hockey? Did you bet other hockey last night? I feel like I had nothing else.
I bet Matthews. Matthews didn't. Yeah, no goal for Austin Matthews last night.
Yeah, no,
and finished with a very nice 69. But serious question. So, like, rest in peace to the Arizona Coyotes moving to Salt Lake City next year. Sure. The serious question. The Coyotes, how long were they in Phoenix/Arizona for? Like, I have a quarter century? Like, 25 years? 30 years?
As far back as I can remember, yeah. They were called the Phoenix Coyotes before that, right?
For a long time, it was the Phoenix Coyotes. Yeah. Like, it used to be the Phoenix Cardinals, and then they became the Arizona Cardinals.
Are they going to keep being called the Coyotes, even though they're in Utah now?
I think they're going to be called the Lakers now, the Salt Lake City Lakers.
I was about to say, this is like the start of baseball for like 30 years ago. the Jazz moved to Salt Lake City where they don't allow music. It's like the Lakers moved to Minneapolis to LA and back, and like no one seemed to notice or whatever it was. Yeah. So started in 96, the Phoenix Coyotes. Franchise was founded in 1972.
When I say Phoenix Coyotes, who is the first person that you think, like, you associate with the franchise?
No one. I don't think of anybody. Who do you think of?
Like, Gretzky, like, ran the team for a little bit, right? Shane Doan? Like, is that it?
When I go to sleep at night, I say goodnight to my wife, and then I say Shane Doan, Arizona Coyotes.
You know who I think of when I think of the Arizona Coyotes? Wiley E. Right. Coming up next, Sixers beat the Heat last night. Got to take on the Knicks in round number two. We are all over all of it here. 3-hour edition. You better, you bet.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hero with Batum in pursuit. Here goes Hero, fires up, blocked by Batum. Ball kept alive, Oubre comes up with a foul against Miami. Nick Batum with more heroics.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Mike Breen and company with the call last night on ESPN. That's the playoff debut of the Mike Breen, Doris Burke, J.J. Redick broadcast team. Excited to see how that goes as we progress forward in the NBA playoffs.
To be fair, no one's saying to miss the second free throw to go up four.
That is true.
Whatever you think of the telecast. Everybody's got their good nights, everybody's got their bad nights. It's also, they've done like five games. They have done no games together. They did like some Sundays, I think, where Redick joined. That's what I forgot to mention yesterday, too. Like, the people bring up the Pacers' domination over the Bucks. And then their semifinal of the play of the in-season tournament, they ended up beating them. Be like, yeah, Doc Rivers was there, the Bucks coach. You know what he was doing? Calling that game. Which is really, really funny to think about. Be like, oh, well, season series, what happened? Well, the current coach called the game, so he was there at least. He like saw the plays that they ran and stuff. I mean, that was pretty good. Yeah, it was see how the telecast goes. I mean, they're calling the finals, so this is what we got.
And we'll see. We'll see with Breen, yeah. Burke, and J.J. Redick. Anyway, Sixers beat the Heat last night 105-104, outscoring by Miami by 13 points in the second half. And great job by Jake playing that highlight coming back from break, because it was, the playoffs can get weird sometimes. It was the Nick Batum game. Scored 20 points last night off the bench for the Sixers. Embiid throws up 23 and 15, but like, he doesn't look like himself. Like, it's been like a huffing and puffing fall. And I guess, like, Embiid's gimmick is that he's constantly on the ground. He was on the ground even more than usual last night. I even tweeted at one point, why are his teammates not helping him up? And all the Sixers fans start tweeting me, like, because he's constantly on the ground and they're probably tired for picking up this large human.
Right, I'm going to pick you up all the time. Because he's big. Hurt my back, yeah.
So by virtue of the Sixers' win last night, we'll talk about Miami in a second. Philadelphia now the 7 seed, and they get the Knicks in round one, game one, between the Sixers and the Knicks Saturday at the Garden. And as for Miami, you've heard of Pyrrhic victories. I guess this was kind of like a Pyrrhic loss, because not only did Miami lose, and we await the results of Jimmy Butler's MRI. I haven't seen an update yet, but you know, Shams tweeting it earlier today, Woj saying it on ESPN earlier today. The expectation is Butler sprained MCL at the end of the first quarter, played the rest of the game, like didn't play great. One of the reasons why Miami lost the game, also like Tyler Hero acting like he's Allen Iverson, but not as good. Also, like, can't dribble. Butler apparently sprained MCL, would miss tomorrow night's game against the Chicago Bulls for the right to be the 8 seed, and presumably maybe like the entire first round series against the Boston Celtics. So we'll await further word confirmation on Jimmy Butler and his potential MCL sprain in his knee. So, yeah, like, Yeah, that noise you just heard in the background, those are police sirens as the cops get set to escort the Celtics straight to the Eastern Conference Final with this development from last night in the Sixers Heat game. So we can talk about the Celtics, Ken. We can talk about the Knicks and the Sixers. Dealer's choice here. Where do you want to start coming off of last night's game in the Eastern Conference, the 7-8 matchup?
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics are kind of interesting just because they're one of the very likely teams to win. But if we're talking about challengers to the Celtics, I think just an eye test comment first. What's the conversation about the NBA right now and the bracket and who can win has kind of centered on the idea that if Boston doesn't win the conference, like they're going to win the conference a lot, but it's always, well, if they don't win it, essentially one of these two teams will be the one that wins. Like, these were the two teams that were brought up the most. Milwaukee has an injury to Giannis, and they're bad. They're under 500 with Doc Rivers as their coach. The Knicks have a lot of injuries. The Pacers aren't particularly good. Tyrese Halliburton hasn't been the same. The Magic have no playoff experience. There's not a lot of options for, I mean, what do you pick, the Bulls? I mean, there's just not a lot going on in terms of teams to win the Eastern Conference that aren't Boston. Things have broken very well for them. But these are the two teams that were always brought up as like, well, the Heat have a great record against them and play them very tough and have a huge coaching advantage in the series, obviously beat them last year. And then the Sixers have kind of come close a couple times against Boston. The teams have played very entertaining series previously. Celtics always getting the better of them. But like, this could be different because Embiid hasn't played and maybe he can get back to full health, and the composition of the teams, if the coach is different. And so this was the sell going into last night's game. It was one of the reasons why we viewed it as such a high leverage game. Like, winner of the game gets on the opposite side, then you play Boston in the conference finals, who knows? Just like watching the game, and this is unfair because it's one game and the Heat do this, they make teams look bad. Like, did either team look like the team that's going to beat the Celtics last night? And like, I'm just watching it and I go, like, the Heat do Heat things, and Terry Rozier didn't play in the game last night, and we'll talk about that with the next game too. Like, that could end up being really important for them, which means Hero had to shoot way more and play way more, and that wasn't great. So like, it wasn't even full strength Miami. But yeah, I just, you know, you got to be honest with yourself when you're watching these things. Embiid's looks not very good for a lot of the game. Makes a couple incredible plays. The touch pass ahead for the layup, one of like the key plays of the game, was excellent. But like, you know, he looks like 60% of what he is that we played. This was the first game. And it's like, oh, well, he'll get better. Really? Or maybe he'll get worse. Like, why does it have to be better? Why does that have to be the answer? I just found myself, it got like more pessimistic last night watching both games. I just go, really? 7-game series? Like, these are the two that are supposed to get the Celtics? And I want somebody to go get the Celtics. It makes it easier for me with Denver to win. And I don't know if these are the teams that are going to do it. I mean, Philly is, I guess, the more likely one because their guy's going to play and we don't know if Jimmy Butler's going to. But man, like, we had all kind of, and I did it too. We all kind of talked ourselves into the idea of like, well, the winner of this, like, that's your challenger, and they get on the opposite side and they meet in the conference finals. Man, it's got to look a lot different than it did last night. I feel like for both teams, just eye test wise watching the game.
You bet here with Nick and Ken on a Thursday talking the Philadelphia 76ers win last night over the Miami Heat. We'll talk about the Celtics and their path to the Eastern Conference Final in a second, but let's spend a couple minutes now on the Knicks and the Sixers coming up in the first rounds of the playoffs in the 2-7 matchup. Game one Saturday from the Garden. The Knicks a 2.5-point favorite, total 208.5. Really interesting series price as well at our show sponsor, BetMGM. -110 both ways. And I thought the Sixers were going to be favored, not by a lot. So it's basically pick the winner of the series between the Knicks and Philadelphia. Just based on the way, Ken, that you were talking about Joel Embiid last night, my sense is maybe you like the Knicks in this series. Maybe you like the Knicks to get past Philadelphia and advance to the second round. I'll give you my thoughts on who I think is going to win the series in a second, but is that how you're leaning right now with Joel Embiid clearly not 100% for Philly?
Well, I think there's a difference between they can't beat Boston and they can beat the Knicks with no Randall and with, you know, like, we'll see if does Anunoby play every game in the series, right? Does Mitchell Robinson play every game in the series? Like, do all these things happen? Because it's, you know, like, let's use some of the criteria we used yesterday, which I just think is a good way to start having the talk about each series. So like these three criteria, right, where regular season performance is kind of the least important of the three. That's obviously advantage Knicks, but everything gets an asterisk on it because Embiid didn't play in the games. So it's like, yeah, the Knicks had a better net rating, but they didn't when Embiid played. And like, yeah, the Knicks from an all NBA talent standpoint, that Jalen Brunson will make either first or second team all NBA probably this year, and Embiid won't. But when he was playing, he was the MVP. So like, do the Knicks have an advantage? Playoff experience, like Sixers. Like, I mean, I just, you know, like the coaches won a title. I mean, it just like, it's so all of these criteria point pretty hard toward Philly. And then it's like, well, then, you know, why is Philly not your favorite bet of all time? Because I'm worried about Joel Embiid's leg falling off at some point during this. I mean, this is it's ridiculous to watch. And he falls down a million times. This is not even like an insulting thing. It's just, it's tough to be really confident making a bet when the key to everything is a really big unknown. And the pricing kind of reflects that it's a really big unknown. I mean, if he honestly, like, this maybe this sounds stupid, but I kind of believe it. Like, if he just looked a little better, they'd be favored in the series. If he just looked a little better, it's not even a statistical thing. It's not even a performance thing. Just like, I watch him and he's not wearing a brace that weighs 50 pounds and he's not adjusting it constantly and he doesn't look bad. Like, they might be minus 130 or minus 140 or minus 150, but they're not, because we have to have like a healthy
probably,
amount of,
right?
Right.
And deserve it.
We have to
right?
have a healthy amount of skepticism. Absolutely deserved. Have to have a healthy amount of skepticism that he's going to play every game in the series, because this is his MO. So look, like, to start the series, obviously he is going to play in game one. Well, as of right now, at least. And we kind of know everything going into game one. Also kind of interesting that like Batum played a lot and Tobias Harris didn't play a lot down the stretch of that game, and getting booed by the Philadelphia crowd mercilessly, missing a bunch of layups. You'd be curious, like, how much, like, how safe is his spot as like a max minute rotation guy in this series? Oh my God, especially in the home games. I mean, it's like, it's depressing. And they play, Batum was great in last night's game. Is that consistent? Like, you know, you'd want some kind of, and you're not going to get it, you'd want some kind of guarantee about how many minutes or games you thought Embiid would play in the series. If you told me like, hey, like, he's going to kind of look like that and he's going to play every game, I think the Sixers are very likely to win the series if that's the case. But if it's like game three, we're not sure he's going to play. And then like game four, it's 15 minutes. And that sounds not likely just based on what we're seeing right now. But like, things will change on a knife edge with this particular player. A wrong step and the series price changes dramatically. Makes it tough to bet. I would not bet the Knicks with the information that we have right now about Embiid at least like playing these minutes and having multiple days between some of the games.
Our friend Spike Eskin, former program director of WFAN, who's now hosting Afternoon Drive WIP in Philadelphia, tweeted last night that Tobias Harris is the Philadelphia 76ers' Charles Smith. A nod to the upcoming matchup with the Sixers and the Knicks, and also something that made me smile as a lifelong New York Knicks fan, traumatized by Charles Smith missing 38 consecutive layups, game five of the 93 Eastern Conference Finals, won by Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. Okay, so you wouldn't bet the Knicks. I really want to, and I want to lay them in game one on Saturday, and then I want to lay them again in game two on Saturday. I find myself, as a fan, I think that I'm normally pretty pessimistic just by rule as a sports fan, which maybe I shouldn't be because I've seen a bunch of my teams win championships. I'm pretty optimistic about this series. Now, I don't want anyone to confuse the issue here. I would have much rather seen Miami. And I had a text chain with a bunch of my friends last night. I'm like, who would you rather face? And this is before we knew about Butler's injury. And for me, it was obviously Miami. Like, give me Miami. I'll take Miami over Joel Embiid and the Sixers. So it's not like I wanted to see Philadelphia in the first round. I would have much rather played the Miami Heat. But now that we're here and Embiid doesn't look 100%, I don't know, man. Like, the Sixers barely at home last night beat Miami with Jimmy Butler playing three quarters of the game with a sprained MCL and no Terry Rozier. And I know the Knicks don't have Julius Randle. They haven't had Randle since January. I think the Knicks are going to win this series. I don't think it's going to be easy. I don't know if I'm going to bet it before the series. I'm definitely going to bet them in game one. I think the Knicks will win the series against Philadelphia. Okay. And heartbreak for me will come later down the road in this postseason as a fan.
What? I mean, it's tough to, I'd love to be like the total opposite viewpoint. And I think, you know, I think if Embiid looks like how he looked last night, it's close. I still think it would be Philadelphia. If it gets any worse, I would totally agree with you. Like, if he, you know, if he really is like laboring and like, you know, for entire games can't perform very well, I'd be hard pressed to disagree with you. It's just, and this is the story of this playoffs, right? I don't like coming on and doing these shows and having to be like, I don't know, but the story of this playoffs is a bunch of I don't knows. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, Giannis, and Joel Embiid are all total question marks in their respective series in different ways, right? With Giannis, it's like, we're probably not going to see him. And with Kawhi, it's like, I think it's 50-50. Even game one, I feel like it's 50-50 at this point. And if game one's 50-50, they all feel 50-50 to me with the kind of injury that he's dealing with. And then Embiid's playing, but like, it's almost more confusing because how do you quantify like 40% of Joel Embiid and put it into a market like this into game one? How do you bet his player props over or under with like the sort of the mystery of how this is going to go? And so it's just, it ends up being like kind of an obnoxious story. Like you would, the, you know, the NBA is great because of the star players. And if we're going to have a postseason in which like three of the biggest eight stars in the league maybe just don't play and their teams are eliminated. I mean, first of all, you had much closer to Denver, Boston at warp speed for the finals because the amount of resistance that these teams will encounter is zero. But if, you know, it also makes it tough to be like, to come on a show like this or host a show and be like, oh, like love the Bucks in the series. And then the follow-up question from the other person should immediately be, oh, you think Giannis is going to play? And then what the hell is my response to that supposed to be? Yeah, I know and you don't. Giannis doesn't know whether he's going to play. I'm supposed to know whether he's going to play. So it's just like three of the eight series are compromised from having these like fun, we know what's going on betting discussions. Sometimes those can be the most fun things to bet into, but I'll be honest, it's hard to feel really confident about stuff when like the linchpin of everything in three of the series is a total mystery, and we have very limited information.
And speaking of like lacking confidence, you know, I said on the show on Monday that I really wanted to take Milwaukee, Ken, to beat the Pacers in round number one. And the more I think about it, and it's like we talked about this with the Super Bowl, with when it was kind of like, you know, I liked Kansas City in the game, but it wasn't like a slam dunk bet for me or anything to bet the Chiefs. Right. And one of the reasons why I ultimately settled on Kansas City was like when the game ends, like whether I win or lose, like I'm comfortable having laid my money on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And what I keep coming back to with this Bucks-Pacers series is if I click the button on Milwaukee, I think I'm going to feel really dumb.
Yeah.
When it's like all said and done.
Right when you hit the button, you feel like you're wearing a dunce cap. No question.
So guess what? I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it with Milwaukee.
But you'll click the button on the Knicks. No dunce cap there.
You can't let me enjoy this year with the Knicks. I gotta wear a dunce cap if I like them against the Sixers. We're the damn two seed. Also, congratulations to the Boston Celtics on winning their first two series in the Eastern Conference playoffs. We'll do a little bit more on the Celtics on the other side, and then we'll get you set for the play-in games coming up tomorrow and some games coming up tonight in the National Hockey League that impact the playoff positioning here next on It Moved.
Rebound out to White. Here's White. Standing between two. What a finish.
It's going to be a junkyard fight. It's going to be a dog fight, man. We know Miami. They know us. So for us, we just got to come in ready to compete and, leave it all out there on the floor.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Kobe White sounded like me, like imitating people that do like bad sports content. Leave it all out on the floor.
You know we got to do. Take it one game at a time. That's what we got to
yes,
do. Why do you sound like that? Because I'm just being funny.
That is hilarious from Kobe White. Not hilarious was Kobe White's performance to the Atlanta Hawks, who were bounced out of the postseason last night. Kobe White with 42, which would be a career high if these games counted. But like they happened, I saw it. I watched it.
He did score.
I lost
the points.
Money on it, but
the ball went in.
But it doesn't count on his career record. Maybe I should like call my bookie. Like, hey, like Kobe yeah. White's point total doesn't count. Ergo, refund me my bet.
Right.
Hashtag refund Kobe.
Yep. Like, what, you know what else doesn't count? Like the PayPal I have to send you in a couple days. That also won't count.
Mike Gallagher from ETR will join us coming up in 20 minutes. Dennis Bernstein joins us next hour as well. A ton of NBA and NHL postseason betting breakdown for you, dear listener and dear viewer, over the course of today's show. Final hour, power hour, will feature all our bets for tonight. But let's talk about the Bulls, and we're going to spin it forward, Ken, to their game against the Miami Heat tomorrow night. So we'll play the It Moved imaging coming up in a second. But, man, that's good stuff last night from Kobe White, DeMar DeRozan in Chicago, who beat Atlanta pretty handily. DeJounte Murray has a really nice game for the Hawks, but otherwise it's like, see you later, Atlanta. And the Bulls, who I think, and I know other people have said this also, and I think they're right, maybe the best bad team in the history of the NBA, gonna continue on their march here. And
almost,
you know,
no question.
Like, yeah. Jimmy Butler's not gonna play in this game. We'll talk about the point spread in a second. It might be Bulls Celtics coming up in the first round.
They play all the time, too. I think they played in 1/8 like at least 3 or 4 times historically. I have I now I'm going to talk myself into having to look this up. So they definitely played the most famous. I don't know if it's the most famous 1/8 they played in, but yeah, I think is it the most famous 1/8 they played in? Remember, was it a 1/8 when like remember Rajon Rondo and Kirk Heinrich got in like a brawl at midcourt and like flung him into the
Yes.
scorers table? That was a 1/8, right? And that was like the
That
B
one,
Boston was the one. Was that the year? Was that
2008 maybe?
might have been the 10 one? Might have been the second time they played they played because
The
the story of
Lakers.
the first title, the 08 run was right. Then they go to 7 against everybody the first 3 series, and then against Atlanta it was like the same thing, something like that. There's like I feel like I'm mixing the two Celtics finals runs. One ended up in an NBA championship, but I actually think these teams have played multiple times in a 1/8 series, which is just really weird for just any two franchises for that to be the case. Honestly, it doesn't happen very often.
All right, so again, Mike Gallagher will join us from ETR coming up to start next hour. But right now, we get you up to speed with all the line movement for the two NBA play-in games tomorrow night on Friday night. And we will talk about the couple games in the National Hockey League tonight that will impact playoff positioning in the Stanley Cup postseason with this Thursday edition of It Moved.
I think it moved. I think it moved. I think it moved.
It moved. And it's different on Thursday, April 18th. Ken, let's start with the play-in games on Friday night. We are both off tomorrow. We're back on Monday. So we'll talk about these games and give you our bets later in the show. But for now, let's talk about the sides and totals. And let's start with the Heat and the Bulls from Miami. Winner will lose to the Celtics likely in the first round. We are expecting no Jimmy Butler for the Miami Heat. And we expect news to come down probably before we're off the air coming up at 7 o'clock Eastern on Jimmy Butler's MRI. And it feels like the Chicago Bulls will not have the services of Alex Caruso dealing with a badly sprained ankle after his teammate Andre Drummond hit him with the Shining Wizard running knee and like injured him during the game last night. So Heat and Bulls first play-in
Sure.
game tomorrow night to determine the 8 seed in the East.
Yeah, obviously Caruso, a pretty impactful player for Chicago, but the biggest story is going to be, is Jimmy Butler actually out for this game? It was sort of, oh, we haven't, literally as we're doing this, we have an update. Jimmy, who, oh, this is from this is the Heat Twitter account. We don't need any insiders. Here's the insider of the team. They're telling you what's going on. Injury update, and it's all caps, so you know it's going to be really important. Jimmy Butler with a right MCL sprain, as reported by Shams, and Terry Rozier, who missed the game last night with a neck injury, and like that led to, Hero had to play a little bit more, other players had to play a little bit more minutes. Terry Rozier been like a big time player for the Heat down the stretch of the season. So Butler and Rozier both out for tomorrow night's game. So the really interesting thing will be maybe we do all the games and come back to this one in a few
Let's
minutes
do
and
that.
see, like, all right, so like Heat were, well, we can just tell you the Heat were 1.5 and the total was 205.5 prior to this getting tweeted. It felt like definitely more of a Butler not playing number than a mid than like a an in-between number, because they're just, we all watched the game, like it's a national game, it's a playoff game, like it's hard to be like, nah, 50-50. Like I think we were all leaning more toward him not playing. Him and Rozier out, it just really like kind of compounds the problem. I mean, we can talk about like props and who's gonna score in this game, and it's not that Chicago's defense is any good. I mean, Tyler Herro might have to take 30 shots tomorrow. I mean, that's actually what might have to happen. I mean, it's pretty outrageous how the shot distribution might go. So Heat were 1.5 with a total of 205.5, and people might be like, they were favored with Butler out. They were going to be a pretty big favorite probably in this game if Jimmy Butler was going to play, because the Bulls are, terrible, and that's and on the road, and that's why that would happen. Bulls only a 3-point home favorite against Atlanta last night, so we can circle back to this. But Butler and Rozier, for people listening, and everybody's been retweeting this the last couple minutes, Butler and Rozier both out. Butler obviously the more important player.
I'll be the square here, and we'll talk about this more later in the show. I'm going to like the Bulls in this game. If you're going to tell me like Tyler Hero's going to be the primary point guard
Did
and
you
my
try to bet
ball
it right
handler.
there when that came out? Did you try to bet it? Because you're going to get a better
No,
number probably, right?
I've got I am having difficulty doing that right now.
Yeah.
But this, which
Why
one? So
are
yeah,
we doing
let's just
something? Why are you having
let's
difficulties?
So let's try and hit as much as we can here. That's the first play-in game tomorrow night. The second, this one will also have injury concerns here, right? With the Kings and the Pelicans, winner will play the Thunder in the first round in the 1-8 matchup. The Pelicans going to be without Zion Williamson. Brandon Ingram's not 100%, and Sacramento has been without both Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter for quite some time. Both won't play tomorrow night. Where do we stand with the Kings and the Pelicans? Again, the winner becomes the 8 seed in the Western Conference.
I think probably not surprising to people, and obviously when this market opened, even the people who set the openers, like the market making books, knew that it was pretty unlikely that Zion was going to play in this game. And there was some line movement, but that was like formally announced with a hamstring injury. But you see a market that was kind of already slanted toward him not playing in the game. The openers at most places were either Kings by one or Pelicans by one, depending on when they opened. And then everybody pretty quickly went to Kings as a small favorite on the road in this game. And obviously Kings come off a game. Can't forget the impact of both injuries and recency bias. I mean, the Kings looked great against the Warriors. Now, Klay Thompson missed about 900 open three-pointers, but the Kings played really well. Some of their ancillary players, you mentioned the Huerter and Monk injuries. Keon Ellis has been like an incredible bright spot for them. Really great defensive player, accumulating a ton of stocks, like steals and blocks the last few games. So it seems like they've been able to fill their injuries, Monk and Huerter, with other players. Will the Pelicans be able to do that with Zion? And you hit on the big problem. So the Kings are a 1.5-point road favorite. The total is 211. The total has been bet down in addition to the Kings getting bet entirely as a result of the Zion injury. So like that's where that movement comes from. So Kings 1.5 to 11.5. And yeah, the most important thing, like, okay, Zion's not going to play. Anybody who watched the Lakers game could see that he was basically accounting for 100% of the offense almost all the time, and they're trying to ramp up Brandon Ingram's minutes as he returns from this injury, and 2 nights ago was supposed to be like the next step in that process, but he was so bad that he didn't play very well and didn't play as much, I think, as they were thinking he was going to play.
He wasn't in the game at the end.
And I give Willie Green credit, because after the game he was just like, look, Ingram's coming back from an injury. Like, this unit was playing well. This unit without CJ McCollum in the game and Alvarado. And instead, like, I'm going to go with that. And, like, not a lot of coaches do that, by the way. And it worked. Like, it actually made a ton of... McCollum was terrible in the game. Like, it's just... Can Ingram and McCollum give them anything? Or if they have to go back to the bench unit, it's going to be, like, a pretty long game, probably. And winner obviously plays the Thunder.
We need Alvarado on the Denver Nuggets so I can do the Rocky Mountain High Alvarado. Give me 30 seconds here on the Lakers and the Nuggets coming up on Saturday. Game one there from Colorado. We have seen some betting action with Denver and LA game one.
Yeah, and the interest in both game one and this series has been in Denver from open. There was some, I would say, like, two-way action, maybe in the first 12 hours of this market opening, where the Lakers would get bet a little bit, and then the Nuggets would get bet a little bit. And you were kind of curious where this was going to settle. Obviously, Nuggets have home court. Nuggets are better, just by how much. And so where we've actually settled here in the series is pretty interesting. There are a couple books that are currently dealing the Nuggets as minus 425 favorites in the series. So this is up a pretty good amount in the last 24 hours. Denver has been getting bet in the series. Okay, and what happens either when a game gets bet or a series gets bet? These two things are, they're sort of derivatives of each other. They move in tandem. So as one gets bet, as the Nuggets are more likely to win the series, they're going to be more likely to win game one. And as they're more likely to win game one, they should be more likely to win the series. Like, these things should be moving at the same speed, honestly. So when this game gets bet out, like a point and a half, Denver now a 7.5-point favorite most places in game one at home, they should be a little more likely to win the series. That's what we're seeing. Interesting that, like, I feel like the Lakers as a potential upset candidate has been a popular topic on our show. I think it's interesting to talk about. Other people that I talk to think it's interesting. Other shows do it a lot. And yet you have this interesting situation where we're all talking about something and the opposite is happening. Like, the Denver is the one getting bet, despite the fact that we all think the Lakers kind of have a puncher's chance.
And that's the Lakers and the Nuggets game one on Saturday. And let's close the hour. We only got a couple baseball games tonight. No NBA tonight, obviously. Final night of the NHL regular season. Almost everything decided as far as the playoffs are concerned. But, you know, one thing still has to be determined, and that's whether or not the Kings finish ahead of the Knights or vice versa, which will determine who the Dallas Stars play and the Edmonton Oilers play. So LA definitely wants to win this game tonight. They're a point ahead of Vegas. They will play the Chicago Blackhawks, not exactly, you know, the conference finals we saw last decade. And then we have Vegas against Anaheim. Ken, what are the betting markets in those two games to close?
like almost unbettable level favorites. Maybe you don't think about it that way because it's like team with everything to play for, team with nothing to play for. Really, really big numbers. Both teams hanging out as between either, and this depends on where you go, either a minus 350, 375, or in both cases now with both games, there is a book in each game that is dealing Vegas and LA as minus 400 favorites. In their games tonight, the total in both games is 6, which seems kind of irrelevant. Even a two-team parlay of those does not pay very much. Heavy action, obviously, on the teams that need the games.
I believe it's minus 180. I know, because I looked. I did, I'm being honest. Hour one done, hour two for you. Coming up on the other side, we will start the hour getting bets for the NBA postseason from the great Mike Gallagher from Establish the Run.